Today we will speak mostly on the Gaur Lila, because since 2 days down the line, on Tuesday we have a Gaur program. Lord Chaitanya's pastimes are unlimited in one way, and also his glories, which has been extolled by the devotees in the different biographies or hagiography. We can see that in Chaitanya Mangala and Chaitanya Bhagavat, they have glorified Lord Chaitanya and his early pastimes a lot. And the Chaitanya Charitamrita has some, but they are just mentioned some of the pastimes. But it has also philosophical expositions or explanations there. Lord Chaitanya was born on 1486, and then he left his body on 1533. Now, in my first lecture, I've actually explained you that how he spent his entire lifespan. So, first 24 years, he was okay, Brahmachari, and he was not sorry. He was married at the age of 14, but until 24 years, that is a pre-sannyas period, and after 24 years is a post-sannyas period. So before Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was born, he sent his parshads, that means his associates or his companions onto the earth, like Mother Sachi Mata, Jagannath Mishra, and Advait Acharya Prabhu, and even Nityanand Prabhu. Advait Acharya Prabhu was 52 years older than Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he, as we mentioned in our last lecture, that Advait Acharya Prabhu was fervently crying and praying to Lord Krishna that you please appear. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared on the full moon day of the Phagun month. And that day, all the neighborhood Matajis, they went to see him. And they were completely in love with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And even Advait Acharya Prabhu and his wife, they come to know about that. So Advait Acharya Prabhu's wife, Sitarani, or Sita Thakurani, she goes there and she sees Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Upon seeing Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, she gives her a name with love as a Nimai. So Nimai is the name given by Sita Thakurani to that Advaita Acharya Prabhu's wife, to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because he was born under a neem tree. So that's why his name was Nimai. But all the residents of Navadvip, they used to call Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as a Gauranga, because his complexion was like molten gold. So he was pretty handsome in one way, if you see that. That's why people were so much in love with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And even Nilambar Chakravarti, that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's grandfather, Sachi Mata's father, he saw the charts of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, small Nimais, and then he realized that this boy is not an ordinary boy, but he is a direct Supreme Personality of Godhead himself, or Krishna himself. That's what he realized after looking at the charts. And then, as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was born, so whenever Sri small Nimai used to cry, so the neighboring females, they used to come and they used to chant Haribol or Hare Krishna, and then that's how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to get solaced, and he used to stop crying. that way is like small wonderful pastimes in his babyhood, or we can call it as a Pauganda Leela, where he performed so many wonderful pastimes. He gave liberation to even to a small puppy. A small puppy he once got from the banks of Ganga, and he brought it home. Mother Sachimata said, no, we should not actually have this puppy because we are Brahmins, we cannot have it, so we better leave it again back on the banks of Ganga and take a bath. So he goes to take a bath and then he leaves the puppy. Puppy then stands on the hind limbs and then starts chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, and then she leaves the body. In fact, a plane comes and it takes the soul of the puppy back to Godhead. So we can see that how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was showing all the signs in one way, that he himself was Lord Krishna himself, Lord Krishna. Once even one Brahmin came to the house of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and he wanted to offer a bhoga to Lord Krishna. So he was preparing the bhoga to Lord Krishna, and then when all the preparations was done, when he was offering to Krishna, he was praying that Krishna, please come and eat the bhoga. And then Nima used to run and eat the prasadam. So that it happened many times actually. And then at last, so Nima, when this Brahmin was about to cry, like he was thinking, my God, like now how adamant and how crazy this child is. Then Nimai spoke actually. He said, like, no, you asked me to come and have the prasad, and now you yourself are crying. And you yourself are actually making a big fuss out of it. Why are you actually calling me and then not allowing me to eat also? And if I eat, then you complain. Then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, small Nimai, he showed the form of the Krishna to that Brahmin. And then Brahmin realizes that this small boy who was eating my offerings all the time, he is none other than Lord Krishna himself. So that's how the Brahmin comes to know. But Sri Nimai actually puts him in a yogmaya potency, so that he forgets about what he has shown. And he also asks this Brahmin that, please do not reveal my identity to anybody. So these were some of the wonderful pastimes which little Nimai has performed when he was a small boy. At the age of 5, he was admitted to school, where he learned Bengali. And then at the age of 8, he was sent to a school of Gangadas Pandit, so where he learned about the Nyaya, about the logics, about grammar, about Sanskrit, and he became so expert in that no one could actually even defeat him. If a debate happens between Nimai and anybody, so Nimai would definitely defeat them. And so his glory has started spreading. So his fame was spreading everywhere that Nimai was actually a perfect logician, or he was expert in Nyaya and also in Sanskrit. Then the time went by. Nimai's brother, elder brother, Vishwarup, he leaves the house, and then both Nima, Sachimata and Jagannath Mishra, they actually drown in despair. They become very sad. And over the period of time, then Jagannath Mishra leaves the body, and then Mother Sachi was also in great sorrow. So Lord small Nimai, he actually consoles her mother and tells her that, explains about the philosophy. And then he tries to console her that, mother, I will be there all the time with you. Why are you worrying and crying? And then eventually at the age of 14, he marries Lakshmi Priya, the consort of Lord Krishna. And at that time, he thinks that, okay, he has already established himself in the village of Navadvip, that he is the best logician or best nyaya nyaya person, and he is pretty expert in grammar and also in Sanskrit. He wanted to spread his fame, so he goes to the East Bengal. That time West Bengal and East Bengal. East Bengal means it's a present day Bangladesh. So he went to the Bangladesh, that means that time East Bengal, and he started debating there, and he just wanted to spread his fame. So there he meets Tapan Mishra, the same Tapan Mishra at whose house Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stays later when he goes for the Vrindavan Yatra. So this Tapan Mishra, then he both of them converses, and then when they have during the conversation, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu defeats him and also explains him that how having this, like having the being a great scholar and having so much of intelligence is actually nothing but useless if you do not have any devotion. And then he explains that in this age, the most significant part is that one should engage in the devotional service and chant the holy name of the Lord. And after explaining him about the Krishna Bhakti, then he asked Sri Tapan Mishra to go to Banaras and live there. And then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu returns back. As he returns back, he comes to know that his wife, in great sorrow, she leaves the body, Lakshmi Priya. I have also read that because of snake bite, she leaves the body. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then again consoles his mother, and then he remarries to Vishnu Priya. Vishnu Priya was almost at the age of, I guess, 16. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after marrying her, then he stays in Nadia for a while, in Navadvip for a while. And then over the period of time, since his fame has spread all across the Gaudadesh, that he is one of the best scholar. So no one actually tries to debate with Nimai any longer, because they are scared of getting defeated. During that time, once Keshav Kashmir, so he is one of the biggest pandit from Kashmir, he is Digvijay. Digvijay means one who is not defeated at all, and he is unconquerable. So he comes to this place of Nadia, and then he wants to have have a debate with some of the scholars. But as he comes there, and people when they come to know that this Digvijay Keshav Kashmir is coming there, everybody flees that place. They run away from that place with a excuse that they have got an invitation from somewhere else, and they start leaving the place. So Keshav Kashmir becomes very joyful that there is no one actually to beat him or to debate with him. So Lord Nimai, the Nimai, he actually meets him at the banks of Ganga, and then they start having the debate. So Nimai asks him that one simple question, that can you glorify the Mother Ganga? And then in the glorification of Mother Ganga, the Keshav Kashmir composes 100 verses. Now it is very difficult for somebody to remember 100 verses if somebody has actually composed on the fly. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to his astonishment, he remembers all the compositions, and he actually picks the flaws in the composition of Keshav Kashmir, and he becomes completely flabbergasted. My God, memory this small boy has. And then he asks for an excuse to Nimai that let us have a debate for tomorrow. So next day, when like you know, on that day on that night, then Devi Saraswati, goddess Saraswati, she appears in his dream and explains him, reveals him that the boy whom you had a debate yesterday, he is none other than the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself, Krishna. So next day, when Keshav Kashmiri again goes to Nimai, then he actually surrenders himself to Nimai. So here we can see that how Nimai was he was unbeatable, and no one could actually defeat him in any kind of a debate, and he was unconquerable. His knowledge was very profound. So such Nimai, people were very proud, especially the residents of Nadia. They were very proud of Nimai, but they were also praying that somehow if he takes this takes to Krishna consciousness or takes to the path of bhakti, that would be really nice. So what happens in the due course of time, as his father leaves the body, so he goes to Gaya to perform the last rites, and on his return he visits Ishwarpuri. Ishwarpuri is actually the disciple of Madhvendrapuri. So Ishwarpuri explains him that all your efforts in defeating like different people or different scholars is useless. It is meaningless. You should rather engage in the like real purpose of one's life. And then he preaches him about the glory of bhakti, and then gives him the mantra of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. After getting this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra from Ishwarpuri Prabhu, and after getting initiated, then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu completely gets transformed. Now this is just a leela. Do not think that like Ishwarpuri Prabhu, Ishwarpuri has actually transformed Sri Nimai or Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but actually Lord Krishna, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself played all these pastimes. So at this point of time, he realized that now my time has come to spread the glory of Lord Hari more by chanting the holy names. Because when he was child, he already started preaching. How did he preach? Because you know that when he was crying, all the neighborhood women, they used to come, and there was no other way to console him than chanting the holy name. So by this action, he was actually preaching them that chanting of the holy name is more important. And also, as he was defeating all his young colleagues or teammates or young scholars, he used to make them chant the holy name, or used to describe about the significance of holy name or about the bhakti. So that is how he used to induce them to chant the holy name or to extol the glories of Lord Hari. But now the time has come where he had to extol, or he has to spread the chanting of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra directly. So he starts his regular meetings at the house of Srivas Pandit. So there he has a nocturnal kirtan. He begins this nocturnal kirtan in the house of Srivas Pandit. So there are so many pastimes in that. So one of the pastimes is that for 21 hours he actually does this Mahaprakash Leela. So where he shows different forms and showers the mercy to different devotees. And then also one Brahmana one Brahmana wants to see his nocturnal kirtans. So with that intention, he comes at the house of or at the doors of Srivas Pandit. But then he doesn't get entry into the house of Srivas Pandit. He becomes very furious. And next day when he meets Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at the shore of Ganges, what happens? He breaks his Janua, the sacred thread. he breaks his sacred thread and he curses Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that from now on you will become completely pauper. Okay? You will become completely proper and you will become a homeless. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu thinks that he actually thanks him. Thank you for actually giving me this blessings. Actually, this is a blessing which is actually in disguise helps Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to become a mendicant or to become a sannyas. So this is also one of the reasons. It is one of the external reasons. One of the reasons why Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had taken the sannyas. And another pastime is that one more Brahmin he comes and he wanted to defame Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's all different kirtans, nocturnal kirtans which was happening at the Srivas Pandit's house. So what he does, he brings some illegal or unwanted foodstuffs and he places at the doorsteps of at Srivas Pandit's house. And then when all the residents, they come to know about this about the foodstuffs which was placed outside the doorsteps of Srivas Pandit, they started blaspheming or chastising, defaming Srivas Pandit. And Srivas Pandit actually admits, instead of actually explaining him that this doesn't belong to me, somebody has actually purposefully kept it. He admits that he is fallen and he is not a Brahmin, he is very fallen. That's how he admits it. But what happens over the period of time, people comes to know that this whole entire episode has been actually planned, and this was planned by a Brahmana, one Brahmin. And then eventually what happens is that Brahmin, he becomes he contracts leper, and it is called as a Gopal Chappal Brahmin. He's the one who contracts the leper then. So these were some of the pastimes which Lord Chaitanya performs at the house of Srivas Pandit's house. So during the Prakash Leela also, as he was showing different forms, he also showed a form of Shadabhuja form to Sri Nityan Prabhu. Nityan Prabhu was offering different prayers, so he showed this Shadabhuja, six-handed forms. So out of the six-handed forms, two hands were of Lord Krishna, two hands were of Lord Rama, and two hands were of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself. So these were Shadabhuja form, which was shown to Lord Nityananda. And then eventually Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu realizes that my glories are actually being spread to everybody, but it is not spread to Mayavadi philosophers or to Mayavadi sannyasis. So then he decides to take sannyas. But before the sannyas, actually there is a beautiful incident which happens, is that since all the smart brahmanas and also the atheists and also the Muslims, they become pretty annoyed and irritated by the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan movement. Like since Sankirtan means everybody goes on the streets and they start chanting of the holy name. So they become very annoyed and they complain to Qazi, to the king of that place, Qazi. So when Qazi realizes this, he sends all his soldiers, like all his messengers, and then he asks Srivas Pandit to stop this kirtan right away, and then he breaks the mridanga also there. So when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes to know this, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, on that night, he summons all the residents of Nadia and the neighboring places, and he asked them to join him in a procession, in a Harinam procession to Qazi's house. So that is the first civil disobedience movement which has happened. And so when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu goes to the Qazi's house, what happens is that Qazi becomes very scared. My God, it is actually a gush of devotees and everybody is chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And then there is a debate happens. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explains him about how there is no difference in different religions as such, and what practices, what he is practicing is pretty much actually the spiritual practice which is mentioned even in the Qurana and even in other religions as well. But Qazi also the night before he in his dream comes Sri Narasingadev. Narasingadev appears and he terrifies him that the boy, like, you know, the Sankirtan movement of whom you are stopping him is nothing but Lord Krishna himself. And he tells him that you should not stop his Sankirtan movement at all. So, Qazi accepts that, and then he affirms, or he gives a promise to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that not even me, but even my descendants will also not stop this Sankirtan movement further. Okay, so that's what he gives a promise to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So that's how the glory of Sankirtan movement it starts spreading more and more. But as I said, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu becomes a little despondent that the bhakti, I am spreading it to so many people, but still there are some people who are not taking advantage of this. And those were especially this Shankar or Advaita philosophers and Advaita sannyasis. This is one of the external reasons why Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also took sannyas at the age of 24. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu takes the sannyas at the age of 24. And then, of course, the internal reason is that he also wanted to get into the mood of Srimati Radharani, that in Vipralamba Bhav. Okay. So that's the internal reasons So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then takes sannyas, and after he takes sannyas, then the first place where he goes is actually he takes the sannyas from Shankara Sampradaya. That means from the same Advaita lineage, from Keshav Bharati. Okay. So Keshav Bharati is actually a sannyasi from the Shankar lineage, okay. Shankaracharya's lineage. So this is also one of the pastime, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to impress and wanted to get actually the favor of all the sannyasis or all the practitioners of Advaita philosophy. So that is also one of the reason why he has taken this sannyas from Keshav Bharati. And as he takes the sannyas from Keshav Bharati, then the first place he goes to is actually to Shantipur, to the house of Advaita Acharya Prabhu. Then Sachimata becomes very unhappy. What is this? My son has actually taken, become a completely mendicant. He's become a renunciate. But then she asks him two promises that, do not go to Vrindavan, stay close by, go to Jagannath Puri, and also I want to cook at times so that I can send you all my cooking. So then Mahaprabhu agrees both, and then he goes to Jagannath Puri. And then on that passage, there are beautiful pastimes which happens is that Nityananda Prabhu breaks his danda at river, that Brahmavrata, some river is that. So there he breaks his danda, because one of the reasons is that the Advaita philosophy's danda is it represents one danda, eka danda, whereas our danda is actually tridanda. That means it is which represents body, mind, and the soul. Okay, so that's one of the reasons which he breaks the danda into three pieces and throws into the river. But also another reason is that because Lord Chaitanya is Lord Krishna himself, for him all these falling externals is not required. So that's also one of the reason why Nityananda Prabhu breaks the danda. Then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu becomes very angry with Nityananda Prabhu. He goes alone to Jagannath Puri, and when he sees Lord Jagannath, he becomes ecstatic and then become unconscious. Then Sarvam Bhattacharya, he happens to be there. He understands, okay, this is a sannyasi. Then he takes home, And then Gopinath Acharya explains him that the person who have actually whom you have brought home, he's none other than Lord Krishna himself. But Sarvam Bhattacharya doesn't believe him. And then there is a debate happens, okay, and Sarvam Bhattacharya he never admits that this sannyasi is Krishna himself. But 7 days then later, when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes to consciousness, 7 days he preaches him about the Advaita philosophy. And 7 days Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sits and then listens to Advaita philosophy. Only 7 days. But at the end of 7 days, then Sarvam Bhattacharya thinks that, my God, like, you know, he's not even like, you know, he's not nodding his head, and he's not asking me any questions. I'm not able to understand whether he has understood or whether he has whether he has any questions. So then he asks him, like, you know, what sannyasi, did you understand what I explained? And then he asks him, like, you know, what did you understand? And then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu speaks. Then he establishes he completely refutes the Advaita philosophy, and he establishes that the highest philosophy, or the highest goal or purpose of life, the Advaita philosophy, what explains the real meaning of Advaita philosophy, is actually to engage in the loving devotional service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is what Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explains to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. And then he explains the famous Atmaram verse from the first canto, and then Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya realizes that this person whom I was considering an ordinary person, he is nothing but Lord Krishna himself, Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then Sri Sarvam Bhattacharya composes the 1,000 verses on Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Okay, so that's actually the first, you can see that the first defeat of Advaita philosophy, in one way. And then wonderful pastimes happen in Jagannath Puri. At this point of time, then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu decides to go to South India Yatra. Then he goes on the South India tour. Along with him goes Kalakrishna Das. So Kalakrishna Das associates with him, and then he goes on the South India Yatra, South India tour, for 2 years. So he goes for 2 years. So as he goes for 2 years, during this there are different incidents happen. One of the incident is actually where the Kurma Brahmana, and this is applicable to like all of us. The Kurma Brahmana, he becomes very not impressed, but you know, he becomes very attracted to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he expresses desire that I want to give up everything, my entire family life, and I want to just surrender unto you, and I want to become a mendicant like you. Then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that don't renounce everything. Okay, then that famous verse comes. Yare dekhe tare kaha Krishna Upadesh, amar agya hoy, okay, guru taradesh. So this is the famous verse which is instructed to Kurma Brahman, and this is actually to all of us, that all the devotees who are in grahasthar life, or who are in married life, okay, so what they are supposed to do, householders, whoever you see, give the holy name to, give the Krishna to them. That's what is the duty to us. Become guru and save others. This is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's actually teachings, and that was given to Kurma Brahmana. And then also there is another Brahmana. What is that leper? That Brahmana. Where he becomes contracted with a leper. The one Brahmana, he becomes contracted by leper. He becomes very dismood, because Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has left that place, and he could not get a darshan of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then all of a sudden Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu again comes back to that place, and then he embraces this Brahmana, and as he embraces Vasudev Brahmana. So then what happens is that, and then as he embraces this, then he his leper gets completely cured. And then he asks him, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asks him that, now you dance ecstatically and chant the holy name of the Lord, and spread the holy name of the Lord to everybody. So after that instruction, then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu goes further. And there are, in this South India tour, two things happen. One was that what one book is actually the Brahma Samhita was rediscovered.
Nice. And
Krishna Karnamrita. This is the second book. Second book was actually rediscovered. Now this is actually very monumental in one way. It's very important because it's significant in Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's spreading of this is Sankirtan movement further and establishing Krishna as a supreme personality of Godhead. This was very very vital. Of course, he goes to the very place of Sri Sikh Sampradaya, the very holy place. It's one of the Divyadeshams and one of the worshipping place. That is the Sri Rangakshetra. There he resides in the house of Venkat Bhatta's house. Venkat Bhatta is actually Bhattar. Bhattar means he's actually the Pujari of Lord Ramanath. So he stays with him. And that period happens to be Chaturmas, that the 4 months where one has to do different austerities. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stays with him for 4 months. And his son is actually the Gopal Bhatta Goswami. He eventually becomes, at that time he was small, little Gopal. But eventually he becomes Gopal Bhatta Goswami. Okay. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explains him also. And there is a continuous debate happens, conversation. Not debate, but debate and also conversations happen between Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Venkat Bhatta Prabhu. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explains him about the position of Lord Krishna and difference between Krishna and Vishnu. And Lakshmi and Radharani, and he establishes the position of Krishna in the heart of Sri Venkat Bhatta, and then Gopal Bhatta Goswami, Gopal Bhatta, he becomes Gopal Bhatta Goswami. Later he goes to Vrindavan and under the tutelage or under the guidance of Sri Jiva Goswami, then he becomes the next Goswami. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu returns back from this 2 years of South India Yatra. He comes back to Puri, and then as he comes back to Puri, that time he desires to go to Vrindavan, but before that he goes to Ramakeli. At this place, then he delivers two converted Brahmins. They were Sri Rupa Goswami and Sri Sanatana Goswami. They were Dabir Khalsa and Sakar Malik. Okay, so they were in the Nawab Hussain Shah's. Okay, Nawab Hussain Shah's in his kingdom they were some of the principal ministers ministers, and they were converted. They were actually South Indian Brahmins, okay, Karnataka South Indian Saraswati Brahmins, and they were converted, but they were very well versed with Persian, Arabic, and Sanskrit. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, actually, it's a very long story. Before that, they even used to have a correspondence, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked them, wait until I come. And then after sannyas, when he goes there at the Ramakeli, then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, okay. Delivers them, he asks them, okay, now you go to Vrindavan and start spreading this like Krishna Bhakti. Of course, there are different purposes, excavating and rediscovering all the Krishna's pastimes, okay, pastimes and his places, and also writing about the Bhakti philosophy. So that's what Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructs them. Then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu decides, now at the age of 24, he took sannyas, okay, up to 30. So 2 years he spent in South India Yatra. Okay, then now after that, then he decides that now I should go to Vrindavan, and then he goes to Vrindavan. Okay, but first time he fails because Nityananda Prabhu tricks him. The second time, then he expresses desire. Oh, before going to Vrindavan, what happens is that all the residents of Navadvip, they come to Jagannath Puri. And then for 4 years, the same thing happens. For 4 years, they celebrate Janmashtami, Rath Yatra, Diwali, all the festivals. During that time, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives a mercy to Pratap Rudra. Okay, that's when. So Pratap, first time he gives him, first time Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu doesn't give him mercy. He just gives him one of his external clothes. Then second time, he embraces his son. The third time, as he was dancing, he becomes he faints, and then Pratap Rudra catches him, But when Kshetra Mahaprabhu comes to his senses, he becomes furious. And then the fourth time in a disguise, when Pataputra, like as a common man, goes and serves Sri Kshetra Mahaprabhu, he actually presses his legs, like he massages his legs. And that time Sri Kshetra Mahaprabhu embraces him. Okay, so this happened during that Rath Yatra period. Okay, so that's a wonderful pastimes, and there are so many other pastimes happens during that, like, you know, Sri Kshetra Mahaprabhu preaches to all the residents of Nadia, and also from Gaudadesh, all the devotees who come from there. He preaches them for four consecutive years, and then he expresses his desire that now I should go to Vrindavan. And then finally he gets a nod from Sarvam Bhattacharya and other devotees, and then he goes to Vrindavan. And then of course he visits all his places in Vrindavan. That's a wonderful pastimes there. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu become very ecstatic, and then on his return he goes to Prayag Allahabad, and at Prayag Allahabad, at Dash Ashwamedh Ghat, okay, for 10 days he preaches to Rupa Goswami. He explains him about this philosophy, a bhakti philosophy. And this is explained in Lord Chaitanya's, Srila Prabhupada's book, Teachings of Lord Chaitanya. It's a wonderful book, in that all the in great details Srila Prabhupada has explained. And then from there, from Prayag, then Allahabad, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu goes to Banaras. And in Banaras, then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu lives at the Chandrasekhar Acharya's house. And there he takes the, because he's a mendicant, he's sannyas, so he takes only alms. So he takes the alms of Tapan Mishra. You remember that I told you when he goes to East Bengal, that Tapan Mishra. So he takes alms of Tapan Mishra, and he just subsists on that. And at this, in the same Banaras is actually the bastion or fortress of Advaita philosophy. Everybody, there is Advaita, Shankar philosophy is completely permeated there. So in that fortress, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu goes and he tries, defeats the sannyasis of Shankaracharya lineage. And one of the great exponent of Shankara lineage was Prakashananda Saraswati. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gets an invitation from a Maratha Brahmin at his house. In that same, he also invites all other Advaita sannyasis, and one of them was Prakashananda Saraswati. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then there he was being they make a mockery of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, how he's sentimentalist, he's very emotional, being a sannyasi, from even our lineage, but still he goes and dances like a madman. Okay. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explains, see, this is how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has defeated from his own philosophy. He is like Trinanda Pisumichina. He is not preaching, he's not just writing or preaching, but he was also following. So through his own principle, he defeated Prakashananda Saraswati. He said that he offered them respect, and he accepted his own his own inferior position. He showed that yes, I am actually I'm a duffer. I do not know, because I'm just doing this because on my guru's order, he asked me to just chant the holy name of the Lord, because since I do not have any intelligence, so he just gave me this order, and that's why I'm just chanting on the streets of the dancing and chanting. Prakashananda Saraswati and all the sannyasis become completely wonderstruck by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's this dealings, because they never realized that he will actually become so humble. Right? Generally there is a debate happens, but later Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when upon their request, then there is a debate happens between Prakashananda Saraswati and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu establishes the supremacy of bhakti philosophy of personal devotion, devotion to Lord Krishna as a person. And then the entire group of Advaita sannyasis or Shankara lineage, they get converted to Vaishnavism. to our surprise also, there is Pathan, Pathan Muslims, they also get converted in Prayag, and they are still there. So Pathan Muslims, they are Vaishnava Pathan Muslims, they are called as. So they also got converted. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, on his tour, wherever he goes, he converts, but he actually tries to establish the Krishna consciousness principles and philosophy everywhere. So here, this is one of the greatest victory. First was Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, second was actually the Prakashananda Saraswati. This is one of the, we can consider as, how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was intelligent and how he established and refuted, established the Krishna consciousness and refuted the Mayavad philosophy and defeated the great scholars of that time. Okay. Both in Nadia, in Gaudadesh and also in Banaras. As I said, about Banaras was actually fortress of Mayavad philosophy. Okay. And then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes back again to through Jharkhand. Then again, we all know that how through Jharkhand, that the famous pastime that he enchants all the animals also to chant the holy name of the Lord. Okay. After that famous pastime, then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes back to Puri. And by then, it's almost Chaitanya Mahaprabhu reaches of the age 30. So 30 to 48 years. So there are almost 18 more years. 18 more. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then 6 more years, what does Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu does? He gives a constant association to all his devotees and disciples in some way. Now, who were his disciples? They were exemplary in their own way. And unique, they were unique also in their own way. What was a Vasudev Datta? He was epitome epitome in worshipping Lord. And the dog who was there. Shivanand Sen. He was embodiment of selfless service. And what was small boy? Raghunandan. Raghunandan also. So Raghunandan, he was also in small as a small boy also. He also showed that loving service or personal directly doing devotion to the Supreme Personality of Godhead in person is highest. So and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu preached him. So we will see time and again, and there were so Haridas Thakur for that matter. How Haridas Thakur was actually the Acharya of he was considered as a Namacharya. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave instructions to all different disciples, devotees, and also tried to spread this Krishna consciousness far and wide. So he gave instructions to Nityananda Prabhu. Jaya Shri Shivga. Shri Radha Gopiyullab ki jaya, Jaya Shri Shri Jagannath Baldev Subhadra Maharan ki jaya, Jaya Shri Shri Gaur Nitya ki jaya. So he also gave instructions to Nityananda Prabhu to spread the to bhakti mission or to Krishna consciousness in Gaudadesh. He also asked Srivas Pandit to continue the kirtans, the Hari Kirtan at his house. He requested Advaita Acharya Prabhu, because since he was actually in touch, he was in touch with all the Brahmins in Shantipur. So he asked them also. He asked Advaita Acharya to spread the to Sankirtan movement as much as possible. So see, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did for 6 years, and then the last 12 years is actually what did Lord Chaitanya do? He spent in complete seclusion in Gambhira, and this is explained in Antalila completely. And that's when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually experienced the higher ecstasies, where he was in complete seclusion. And then at the age of 48th year, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu merged into Tota Gopinath. So that's how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ended his pastimes. So this is, in short, we saw Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was right from birth till his death. And we just try to. So there are all these pastimes at different places. They actually are in deep. We can study each of the pastimes are actually by themselves. We can speak on them, like, you know, maybe a days or many days. There is a beautiful pastimes between conversation between Ramananda Rai and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was going on South India tour, he stays at, you know, he waits at Vidyanagar, and then at Vidyanagar he meets Ramananda Rai, and then there is a beautiful conversation happens, and that whole conversation is actually nothing but the entire philosophy of Krishna Bhakti, and it also establishes what is the supreme supreme goal in our Krishna consciousness. So then maybe I would like to pause here and see if there is any questions or any comments or any doubts.